up, everybody? Welcome to the Rehearsal Report. And this is part two of our incredible collaboration with Lightbringer, a new musical. And last week we talked with composer and creator Nick O'Brien. So go ahead and check that episode out if you haven't already. And today we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we are joined by their costume designer, Tiffany Freeze. Tiffany is an Army veteran turned costume designer who started out as a cosplayer before making fashion her career. She majored in fashion design at the Art Institute of Colorado and has worked on everything from short films to swimsuit photo shoots, and is now based in Frederick, Maryland, where she does costuming for theater. Thank you so much for joining me today, Tiffany.
Absolutely. So exciting.
So we're going to start out with a little icebreaker because this is a theater podcast and that is what we have to do. So first of all, what is your favorite color?
Oh, I always say the rainbow minus pink.
Oh, okay. I like that. What was the last thing you ate today?
I don't even remember. Oh, no. I had some chicken salad.
Oh, great. Nice. Nice and healthy. And finally, I'd like you to tell me a little story about the closest object to you.
Oh, that would be my water cup. It's all rainbowy and colory.
Ooh.
It's all shiny.
Nice. So one does not become such a prolific theater maker. Wow, your resume is wild. So we're going to start at the very beginning, and we're going to dive into what we on this podcast call your tragic backstory. So where did this journey of theater begin for you?
Oh, goodness. Well, I guess technically theater started in middle school. I used to be an actress. And so I did acting for a while through middle school and high school, and then it just kind of went to the wayside when I joined the Army. Kind of, we had a small theater that I still helped out with at Fort Carson, but then it just kind of, I like fell in love with cosplay and just really loved doing that and just making this character come to life. So I was like, all right, well, I don't really want to stick with my military training stuff. I would love to turn costuming into a thing. And I ended up landing on costume design. I love the idea of it. And there's just so much to do that I feel like, oh, it's my thing. It's going to be my thing now.
I love that. How long were you in the Army?
I was in for 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, and did you have any formal education before that, or did you go after you got out?
So I had started college right out of high school for chiropractic. Couldn't get into it. So I joined the Army. I did get an associate's with them for intelligence studies. And then now I'm costumes. Just a very strange events for me.
So I love this because Michelle Obama, in her book Becoming, she calls this a swerve, the many different paths that you take in life and suddenly swerving into a new thing. So yep. Were there moments before each of your swerves where you had, was it more of a gradual process of realizing that you wanted to go in a different direction with your life, or was it kind of an all at once thing?
Joining the Army was kind of an all at once thing. Cause I was like, all right, I'm done with school. I can't handle the payments. I don't want to do it anymore. And then all of a sudden my brother, who I'd made kind of a promise to myself, was like, if my brother can't keep fighting, I'll go in and I'll fight. He ended up having to get out for physical problems. And so I was like, I guess it's meant to be and it's time to go. And within a month I had signed on, and within a few months I was gone to training.
Wow.
But I think the costuming was definitely a gradual thing for sure. Mm-hmm. It just kind of was like, all right, we're doing cosplay for fun. Okay, we're still in the Army, just doing it for fun, but this could be interesting to make a career out of. Why not? And then I was like, well, the money situation's a little harder until you get a degree. So it was like, all right, slowly find the pieces, and finally ended up where I am now.
That's fantastic. So if you're comfortable talking about this, and I can edit this out if you're not, how did your family react to your costume design aspirations?
They're actually really cool about it. I think that's because great. Like for me, it's like I did the army thing. So they're like, all right, you've done something not traditional, but you're still set. You're good. And especially my dad's been super supportive about me being like doing the things that I want to do that'll make me happy. And he's really been pushing me, even with all the issues I had with my schooling and stuff for costumes. He's still been very supportive and is always there for me.
That's so great. Is your family, do you have artists in your family?
A lot of singers. That's about it. I'm kind of the only one that really went all out on the art, art path.
So the thing itself, costume design. So you arrive, you've got this incredible backstory of all these different careers that you've had and all these different dreams. And now you've made it to art school, to theater school. Was it like you imagined it at first? What was the getting there like for you?
So I'm a non-traditional student anyways, because I am a veteran. I am late 20s at this time, at the time of starting it. So like, I'm not the traditional student as is. So for me, school had already become this difference. With the Art Institute, it's very much a self-driven. You have to choose your path. You got to get into the class to get your stuff done. And because it was quarters system, it was very fast paced. So you had a very short amount of time to put out a kind of a large amount of work. And it wasn't hard in the sense of a hard thing to do. But going from a very strict army mindset to a fashion, fun, artsy thing was like, wait, what am I doing? Some of my teachers did not like me because my slideshows were like super precise and prim and very not artsy whatsoever. And they're like, you need to have more fun with this. I'm like, I don't know how to do that, bro. You're gonna get what you get. It'll work.
And I mean, like, as long as it works in the long run, who cares what it ends up looking like, you know?
Exactly. All the information is there, so what does it matter?
Did you find you were kind of the only person in a position like you were in, or were there other students in their late 20s or students from untraditional backgrounds that you found at college?
Most of the students I was with were the younger crowd. There was a couple that were a little closer to my age, but they didn't have like the crazy background that I did. I was the only veteran in the fashion design program, which definitely kind of throws you for a loop, but it worked out. It was nice. It wasn't too hard. My school shut down before I could actually finish my degree. I had 10 classes left.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
So
I did not know that.
Technically do not have my fashion design degree, and none of the classes transfer.
Whoa.
So I would have to completely restart if I wanted to get my degree.
Wow.
Yep.
That's so wild.
I learned everything for the most part. There was a couple things that I hadn't gotten to yet, but I had learned pretty much everything I needed to learn to be a costume and fashion designer. The only classes that we didn't get to, that I didn't get to, was creating portfolio and then like menswear, which thankfully 9 times out of 10 I can purchase.
So did you face any challenges in terms of getting work without having that piece of paper?
Yes. I struggled really hard in Atlanta, because I moved there after the school shut down to try and go to another school. But because I didn't have my degree, I actually couldn't really get in with like the filming industry that was in Atlanta. So I unfortunately did kind of see some issues with it. I still kind of do now, but not as much, especially now that I have some theater work under my belt. I have a few things that are established. So it's helpful to have the degree. But the nice thing is that with costumes, it's like, okay, you have a basic understanding of how to do this. You know how to sew, you know how to fix things. You're good. Like had the couple of theaters that I've gotten involved with here have been absolutely phenomenal. They literally were like, oh, you're a costume designer? Okay, here, we've got work for you. Like, sweet.
That's wonderful. So how do you get your foot in the door when there's a project that you hear about, or are companies more likely to approach you, or are you more likely to apply to things? So tell me about that a bit.
So it all depends on where you're at. Mm-hmm. So for being in Frederick, Maryland, it's a small town, but we do have a few different theater groups here. I ended up getting involved with Free Range Humans because a friend of mine knew the director and was like, just kind of reached out to her and was like, hey, this is my friend Tiffany. She's a costume designer. Let her know if you need work, if you need somebody. And right away she's like, oh, I was just about to post that I need a costume designer. You want the job?
Okay. Oh my gosh.
So I got a job like as soon as I got here, but it was because of, I had a connection with somebody who knew somebody.
Yeah.
And then from there, I'd seen a post in this Facebook group that was talking to artists in the area, and she was looking for a costume designer. I was like, hey, here's what I can do. This is my page. Check it out. And she's like, yeah, you're hired. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So I've just been, now I'm like, I work for both of them on shows that they ask for me. And they're like, hey, I'm doing this. Do you want to do it? I'm like, sure. Why not? Let's have some fun.
Oh, wow. See, this is great. Yeah.
It's hard. Like, there's also the Met here in Frederick. And they're kind of the top theater group here in Frederick. Everyone knows about the Met. And I had talked to the director and I was like, hey, I'm a costume designer. I'd love to talk to you about this. And he's like, well, send me your resume and your portfolio. And I'm like, well, I don't have a portfolio per se. I guess I need to make a portfolio soon. And then COVID hit. And everything stopped, full stop. So it's just kind of been a real interesting year.
Yeah, I can imagine. So how did you come to be involved with the Lightbringer team?
The amazing Marcy, who is the music director, she actually had mentioned my name and was like, hey, I've known this costume designer. She's great. Why don't we use her? And pretty much got the job that way. Connections are the best way for a costume designer.
It's hard because I think a lot of times in our theater educations, we kind of buy into this idea that the name of your college is what's going to get you everywhere. Like having that at the top of your resume is supposed to get you in everywhere. But it's so much more about the people you might happen to meet or that college or the people, like you said, like that you are in a shared Facebook group with.
Right.
That are going to get you where you want to be in life. And that can vouch for you and can defend you more than any program will, any degree will. Yeah,
absolutely. Knowing people that are in the theater groups, getting involved on the Facebook pages that it may not be just for theater, could be just a general art group in your city and or surrounding cities can get you in, and you'll see random things like, oh, hey, we just need somebody to help with this, or we need this kind of thing, and just put yourself out there. And I think it's hard to do when you're kind of new to the idea of like, oh, I got to sell myself. This is a new adventure. I don't know what to do.
But it's never too late. It's never too late to do it.
No, shoot. I'm in my 30s now and I'm still doing this. I'm really loving it now. And I found my thing. So it doesn't, and I didn't find my thing until late 20s. So it doesn't matter how old you are. Get into it. You love it, do it.
Oh, that's such good advice. Oh my gosh, I love it. So here at the Rehearsal Report, we are not just in the business of looking back, but we like to look forward on the future of theater. So now that you're more removed from your formal education, is there anything that you would change about this system?
I think for me, sometimes a formal portfolio is not the easiest thing to create, nor just have. If it's more of a, okay, here's some random pictures I've got of the costumes I've done or created, or this is, I worked on this show. I think that would make it easier to get in to certain places. Some places I feel like are a bit elitist and will really only go with somebody who has a full-on degree or has this perfect, beautiful portfolio that makes sense. Instead of looking at somebody who may not have the official degree and may not have a very precise portfolio, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But knows what they're doing, has all these different things that they've done that are kind of big, especially from a school standpoint. Most of my big pieces were while I was in school.
Yeah.
Still learning, and I was getting these things. So I think we need to kind of cut out a lot of that elitism that comes with theater. Don't look at just these young kids who are fresh out of this fancy college. Look at some of the older ones. Look at some of the ones that may not have an actual degree, but they have the knowledge. They have all of the things that look good. Try some of us out.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about accessibility and our audiences a lot and how we can make our material more accessible, but there's so much we can do within our hiring processes too, and within the way we even imagine what a theater artist looks like and what a theater education looks like, because it's not going to be the same for everybody. And that's what closes doors to people is access.
Yep. Agreed. Agreed.
So what do you think is the most important thing you've learned during your education and even after your education, your formal education has ended?
I think one of the biggest things was being flexible. No matter what, like, you got to be flexible with everything you're doing. Whether it's a deadline changing, whether it's like with this Lightbringer show, I've had the most flexible functionality because it's all online. So I'm like, all right, I got to trust that my actor is going to take a picture and of the outfit that they create, and then we can change it. Or, okay, this is what I wanted, but they may not have all of it, so this is what we're doing. And then, like, budget wise, oh my gosh, budget is such a hard thing to stick to. You got to be flexible with your ideas. It's like, okay, I really, really want to do this, but budget wise, I can really only do this. Got to be flexible.
Yeah. We talked about that a lot on this podcast of how theater is also a business, and we can't forget that, even though it sucks sometimes being artists, but we have to remember that it's a business.
Absolutely.
And then how have you found that you've continued your education and continued growing and learning after you've finished your formal education?
Theater work has definitely changed my views. Like, I know how to sew something from scratch. I can make the pattern. I can source fabrics. I can do all that. But with theater, you have a much smaller budget. You have a much smaller time frame, and you have a lot more people to cover. So you learn, okay, I can go and get this, this, and this from the thrift store and mix it together, and I can create a look for this character. A lot of times it's a lot of thrift story. And then modifying what you get, or adding this little piece to make this, this little piece for this. And then being able to talk to other theaters in the area that may have costumes already, and learning how to negotiate and figure out, okay, can I borrow this? I'll make sure to take care of it. Do you want money for borrowing? What is it we need to do? And learning how to do that has nothing we learned in school.
Yeah.
Because I went specifically for a fashion design degree, not a costume degree. Mm-hmm. So learning how to negotiate with other people is not something that was ever taught to me. Mm-hmm. I had to learn that on my own. And
yeah. On the job learning.
Oh yeah. And you get a feel for what you're doing. You get a feel for what they're wanting and you get it. You get it done. Job got to get done. They got to look good. They got to look period. Then we're good to go.
Amazing. And what advice would you give to people trying to decide what kind of education is right for them?
Oh, man. I think my biggest thing is you got to look at what's going to make you happy. Mm-hmm. I can say from major experience, I followed what my parents wanted originally. I was miserable. Mm-hmm. And I'm finally following something that I really want to do. And I'm happy about it. I'm so happy to be doing costumes. Mm-hmm. It is hard and it is financially difficult, but I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, that's what counts to me. Mm-hmm. I have to be happy with what I'm doing. I have to be happy with the people I'm with. And theater work does that. Theater work makes me happy. So you gotta just kind of, you gotta do what makes you happy. That's my biggest thing.
Thank you, Tiffany. I think a lot of people really needed to hear that right now. So before we go, I have a new segment that we are introducing this season of the Rehearsal Report called the Lightning Round. Yeah. I'm going to ask you some rapid fire theater questions. All right.
Oh, gosh.
So what's your favorite musical?
Phantom of the Opera.
Me too. Really?
Love it. Oh, that's honestly what got me into theater.
Yeah. That was one of the first shows I ever saw in person.
Nice.
When I was very little, but lovely. What's your favorite show you've ever worked on?
Ooh, I loved working on Jekyll and Hyde.
Ooh,
it was so cool. Like, it was very audience interactive as well. So like your costumes had to be on point and it was just so much fun.
Amazing. What's the weirdest job you've ever taken?
That would be a fashion show I did. It was to make a look out of wall covering.
Which is like, interesting.
It's like a really thick wallpaper. So it's not exactly the most forgiving in designing, but I helped this crew out and we made this look and it was so cool.
Wait, so like an outfit? You had to make like a...
Yep, outfit, top to bottom. It was nuts, but it was so cool.
That's crazy. So, and the last question is, so this is part of a larger scientific study that we do here on this podcast, because I believe about 90% of all theater artists have had this experience. Right. Tiffany Freeze, have you ever been involved with a production of the musical Annie that left you with a little bit of trauma?
Thankfully, no.
That's wonderful.
I've managed to avoid Annie.
That's very good. Very happy for you.
Fingers crossed that'll continue to be the case.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been so much fun. Where can our audience find out more about you and your work and keep in touch with you?
So I am on Facebook and Instagram under Freeze Costume Design. You can hit me up there. I post as much as I can if I remember to. But yeah, I keep up there on what projects I'm working on, whether it's theater or not.
Fantastic. And we will have the links to those in the podcast description, along with tickets to Lightbringer, a new musical. So be sure to check that out. And as for us, you can always find us on Instagram at the Rehearsal Report Pod. If you have questions for people making cool theater or ideas for guests you want to hear from, you can always email us at therehearsalreport@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear on this podcast, leave us a little review. It really helps us. So thank you so much for listening. And never forget, whoever you are, wherever you are, theater is not an impossible career, and you are not alone in your crazy dreams. We'll see you next week.